sure that you have your Bibles opened, if you would. If you have your phone that you use the Bible app, go ahead and turn on there. We're going to be looking at Romans together, chapter 12. We're going to be looking at only two verses today, but in Romans chapter 12, we're going to be challenged to do something, to be different. Can you just say that word different with me this morning? Different. Do you like being different? Or do you just want people to not even know that you're there? Everybody's a little different. And the world wants to make sure that we conform. Something that we kind of become more and more like. Now, I remember back a story that my parents have told me back way back in the 70s. And so this was in the late 70s. And it started and it took place at O'Galley High School, just down the road from us. At O'Galley High School, something was going on in the women's bathroom. The women in the bathroom, the girls in the bathroom, the teenagers, what they would do was they would look in the mirror, put on their lipstick, and they would kiss the mirror. Now, it started with one. And now, as time went on, guess what happened? It was another one. It was another one. Until the janitor was looking around being like, what in the world happened? As the whole mirror had kiss marks all over it. You see, it just took one. Now, the janitor didn't know what to do, how to solve this problem because it was a daily thing. And so the janitor went and decided that he was going to go ahead and invite some of the girls to come into the bathroom as he was getting ready to clean it. And he said, you can't do this anymore. This is how I clean it. And so he took the mop and he dumped it in the toilet and he cleaned the mirror. Now, do you think anybody ever kissed that mirror again? But it started with one. God has called you and me to be different, not the same. I was thinking of a gentleman this past week because I was thinking about a lot of different things and different people, and I met a giant once. This man, his name was Joe. He was a missionary from New York, and I met him in Haiti in a village. And we were visiting a whole bunch of these little schools, and this man towered over all of them, and he had a jolly laugh, and he would just laugh, and he was almost 7 feet tall. Now, this man I had only met for a short period of time, and every single year at my birthday, I get a card. This was a different man. He had a different love. He had a different action. The joy of the Lord just radiated out of him. And for you and me today, we are going to see what the scriptures say about being different. Because being different for Jesus Christ is a great thing. Let's take a look here as we look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writes, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, when you look at this and you see the word therefore, anytime that you see that, remember what we have to do. We have to find out what the therefore is there for. In the previous chapters, Paul would write all about the doctrine of God, the love of God, why Jesus came, his grace and his mercy. And so when Paul writes this in the view of God's mercy, what do we do with it? How do we engage with it? You see, what we believe today, it helps determine how we behave. And if I really believe, then I should be showing and modeling Jesus Christ with my life. You see, it's not enough to just understand. But what am I doing with what I'm learning? So we must translate our learning into living and showing. We do that by being different. Be different. Paul says that we're to honor God through our bodies. Be different. Now, you might be thinking, okay, well, what? Bodies, that's a physical. Well, Paul, when he writes this, he's encompassing the mind, the body, the soul. And so really what he's saying is he's saying, honor God with everything, but the body, the flesh, is a part of that. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says it this way. It says that, don't you realize that your body, anybody got a body in here today, is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so that you must honor God with your bodies. When Paul would write this in chapter 12, he says that we're to present our bodies, to present our life as a living sacrifice to God. That presenting, it's offering it up to God. And when we offer it up to God, that word that is being used, that word is not just like a one-time thing. It is a continuous thing. It's once and for all and for all. But you might be thinking to yourself right now, how am I doing with this? That was a question that I had to ask myself this week. How am I doing by offering my body as a living sacrifice for God? David Guzik would say this, that the body is actually a wonderful servant, but it's a terrible master. And if my life is to please my body, to live for the flesh, that is a life that is against what God's word says, because God's word says right there that we are to live for God, that we are to live for Jesus, that we're to honor him with our bodies. So we sacrifice self to live for him. How do we do this? How does this work? In the Old Testament, we know that the Old Testament, that the sacrifices that would come up, those sacrifices that were coming to the Lord on that altar, those were to be blameless. Those were to be pure. Those were to be the one lambs that they could not see any issues with it. It's the same way it is with us. And as we offer our bodies to the Lord, it's to be holy and pleasing to him. That's true worship. You see, true worship today, it has little to do with what comes out of our mouth. True worship is all about what comes out of our lives. Now, I love to worship. I love to be here together. But what comes out of my mouth should be what's inside of my heart. My worship to the Lord. That's different. But in this battle that we have going on in this world, the battle of kind of looking over there and wanting to please that, and the battle of making sure that we are dying to self, a lot of times that battle is right up here in the mind. I love what 1 Peter says in 1 Peter 2. It says that, dear brothers, you are only visitors here, since your real home is in heaven. I beg you to keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They are not for you, for they fight against your very soul. So Peter is saying here, he's just saying, hey, you know what? You are not to be in this world of this world. You're in this world, but you're a part of another. You belong to heaven. Believers today, heaven is our destiny. Who we are in Christ and what he is providing for us. We can't live in both worlds like that. We're in here, but we're not to be living for it. Because what happens is it fights against our very soul. But the world today, we'll see here in verse 2, it has different plans and how Satan uses it. Let's look here at verse 2, the very first part. Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world wants control of our minds, but God, he wants to transform who we are. It's different. It's not a conform, because when you look at the word conform, that is from the outside coming in. I'm going to look at like that, and then what happens on the inside? But that word of transform. That word that is used there, that transformation, it actually comes straight from what we see happen to Jesus. It's the same word that's used in that what happens to Jesus is that Jesus was transformed. Jesus was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration where he looked different. He glowed. And that's what God wants from us. You see that word right there that's being used for transformation? That's also a word where we get metamorphosis, where it is changing from within. Jesus has done that work, and that continuous work needs to be able to come out. But you know what? The world system, it is total contradictory to what God wants us to do and how to live. Satan uses it, and there's a squeeze that happens. Over this last 3 years, the world's kind of changed, hasn't it? The world has completely changed. And what things were considered evil or wrong are now considered right and good. There's a change that's happened here. The word conformity, I never even really heard of that word. But we're to conform. The world wants us to conform into its image. And sometimes, you know what? We don't even know it's happening. Just a few months ago, my family and I, we had invited a few couples over and a few with their kids. And we were sitting down. We were watching a movie. And I'm watching this movie and just watching it. We had done the homework on it. We had done some research on it. We felt like it was a really good, safe movie. And well, next thing you know, I started looking over at my grandmother, and she is burning holes in me. She is staring at me, and I'm not thinking anything about it. And the movie goes on a little further, and it had gotten to the point where I had to get up and turn that movie off. When I turned off that movie, my kids were mad at me. I was mad at myself for even putting it on. It's rated PG. You think, you know what? It's okay. And my grandmother was mad at me. You know why she was mad at me? Because I didn't turn it off earlier. You see the squeeze? The pressure of the world? It makes us have to make hard decisions. For parents today, this world, boy, it's different. It's harder. The world system has totally changed against God. And so you have to be the bad guy sometimes. I sing this song sometimes to my kids. I get to be the bad guy once again. I get to be the bad guy once again. Now, I usually do a little dance with it too, but I'm not going to bless you with that today. But parents, making that hard decision, grandparents, setting the example of what we are not to conform to, what we are going to take a stand and to be different, because that's not the way that God would have us live. And my body, my life is the temple of the Holy Spirit because I have been washed by the grace and the love of God, and Jesus Christ lives inside of me. And so I'm going to stay away from that. But parents today, sometimes kids do not understand. And so we have to take that time to be able to tell them why. We can't just be like, because I said so. Parents, I know, I get it. It's easy sometimes to be able to say that. We got to take extra time to be able to help them understand why. Listen to what Isaiah 20 says, because I believe it's talking about the time that we are in right now. It says this, woe, judgment is coming to those who call evil good and good evil. They who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Paul would say it in 1 Timothy chapter 3. He would say, you know what? There's going to be very difficult times. And I believe that we're in those times right now. But in difficult times, the church of Jesus Christ must be different. We have to be different, not to look the same as what the world looks. We're to be different. We're to be transformed because of what's happened on the inside of us. Romans chapter 12, verse 9, it says this, and this is in that same chapter just a little later on. It says, love is to be sincere and active. The real thing, without gall or hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness, and hold tightly to what is good. Hold tightly to what is good today. This is good. God is good. Therefore, all of those areas in the scriptures that talk about how great our God is and the purpose that he has for us. And that purpose is not to look like the world. And so how are we different? To be different, allow God's power to renew our mind. We pray. We pray for the protection. I pray for the protection upon my kids' mind every single day. I pray for the protection on my mind. We pray for healing. We pray for the power that gives us an internal focus. Today, that transformation that happens in us shouldn't just be right here and right here. It should come out. And as it comes out, it starts with that renewing of our mind. Now, one thing that we can do with the Word of God is the Word of God. And let me tell you something. I'm going to geek out on you for a second. I love this. I love the Bible. I love the information in it. I love the history behind it. And you know what? Sometimes the Word of God can be informational. And I love it. I can be kind of a Bible nerd. But the Word of God... The Word of God, as D.L. Moody says, the scriptures were not given to us for information, but for transformation. The Word of God is to transform our lives, is to transform who we are, is to transform what we look like, what we smell like, so that we can point others to Jesus. Look at what John, 1 John chapter 2, 17 says. It says this, in this world, is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But everyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Everything that this world, the things that, you know what, maybe come into our mind, maybe you've already thought of some of those things multiple times already. We're not to live that way. Buy those things, to receive things, to please the flesh. We're to live for God. That's what lasts forever. The other things don't. And so this year, when we look at this year, it's with an eternal focus, with the heart and the goal of transformation in our lives. And that transformation, it comes from not conforming and that renewal of our mind. Let's look again here. Let's finish verse 2, chapter 12, and it says this. It says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. To be different, we must make God's will our will. To do that, it takes us dying to our flesh, dying to ourselves, and being able to live for him. That's different. As a world is following after the flesh, after the carnal things, after the world, God says no. But I love what it says right here. It says this, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. That is probably the number one question that I get, and I've gotten it throughout the years, is, well, how do I know God's will for my life? I'm going to go through this just real quick. How do I know God's will? By keeping our minds on the rich mercies of God. thinking about those things, those therefores, all of those things about how rich he is, how good he is. And then we present our entire self to God, living sacrifice, living for God. And then the third one is that we're going to risk, that we're going to resist conformity of the world. We're going to say, no, I'm living for another. And then the fourth one is we focus on God's word, allow God's word to have that continuous transformation in our lives, because there is power in that transformation. So Paul gives us these very practical things on how to live. The early church, they were devoted. They were being discipled. And in that devotion to the Lord, they had things set in place that would be able to help them. Look here at what Acts 2:42 says. It says this. It says that all of the believers devoted themselves with the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, which we will take later on at the end of the service, and to prayer. This was a part of their devotion. And when you look at the book of Acts and you look at how they lived, our church has decided, you know what, we're going to come up with some ways that are going to help us, these seven disciplines. And Dallas Willard says this. It says that since making disciples is the main task of every church ought to be able to answer these two questions. What is your plan for making disciples? And is your plan working? Well, here's our plan. Our plan are these seven disciplines. The first one is to do exactly what we are doing right now. Exactly what you're doing right now at home, watching online. We gather to worship. Now, worshiping together is something that we are actually called to do. It's a commandment. Paul would say, do not forsake the meeting together and worshiping together. And so that we put that to place in our lives because there's something so powerful that happens when we gather together, when we worship. I love our worship team, and our worship team does such a wonderful job leading us into worship. The second one is that we spend time with Jesus. We spend time reading the scriptures. We spend time praying, connecting with God, connecting with our Creator. But to do that, we have to be intentional. Now, I'm a pastor here at the church, but you know what I have to do? I have to be intentional with spending time with the Lord. It does not come easy for me. And so I have to be very intentional with it to set that time aside on a daily basis. Third one is that we're encouraging, and part of these disciplines is to connect with community. Our church, you know, I love it when we get to be able to spend time out in the commons and start that community. But, you know, there's even a deeper level that we can have when we meet together in community groups or small groups where we can get connected. And that's the biggest part of our discipleship, is being able to grow within those groups, to be able to create those friends, those connections. You know, later on tonight, we will actually have our AIM ministry meeting. And in the AIM ministry, they're connecting. Their kids are going to connect later on. The fourth one, though, is to fight for freedom. And fighting for freedom, that each and every one of us have that tendency to bring either baggage into situations or things that are going on in our mind, things that are going on in our heart. But Jesus did not ask us to live a bound life. No, Jesus, what he did on the cross, it freed us. There is victory. And so we are to live and fight for that freedom today. Church offers biblical counseling, support groups. And as we continue kind of with groups, there's another group out there called the Serve Team. The Serve Team is different people in the church that volunteer on different areas. And so we would like to encourage those to join a Serve Team. learning how to use the gifts that God has given you. It's also a great group, great to be able to have that group where you're working together for the Lord. We have those that are in the church and outside of the church, but that's one of those disciplines. And as we look at serving God, one of the greatest ways that we can do it is to live on mission. And living on mission, we're going to have missions trips this year. We haven't been able to do those very much over the last couple of years because we haven't been able to get into the countries. And so we're going to have missions trips this year. We're going to have outreaches. And so we ask God, how do we live that way? How do we live with that focus? But then the last one is to invest. To invest your resources, your time, and your money. Now, you might be thinking, all right, here we go with money. That is a resource that God has given us. It was a gift from God. But what is the greatest resource that each and every one of us have? Time. Time. Discipleship takes time, as Pastor Paul said earlier. And for each and every one of us, it takes time and focus. But how do we know what we need to work on this year? Well, Pastor Dave, we have a short little video, and in this short little video, you'll see kind of this tool that Pastor Paul talked about as well. And so let's watch this video together that will help us.
Hi, everyone. As pastors and as a church, we are here to help people grow spiritually. And we call that process discipleship. It's what Jesus did. He called people to become a disciple. And a disciple is really someone who's dedicated to following Jesus along with other disciples. I like what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly." So how do we train ourselves to be godly? Well, as a church leadership, we have looked at developing 7 disciplines to help us grow spiritually, disciplines that we feel like are part of discipleship. And we have a self-reflection tool that you can use to evaluate where you're at and what areas maybe you could grow in. You'll see those 7 disciplines, such as gather to worship, spending time with Jesus, connecting in community, fighting for freedom, joining a serve team, living on mission, and investing your resources. Those 7 areas we feel like are ways that you can grow in your discipleship. And we're here to help you. So as you go through this self-reflection tool, we're going to ask that you identify 1 or 2 areas that you feel like this is maybe a weaker area in my life I need to grow in. And then we're going to have some very tangible things that you can put into practice in your life to help you grow in those areas. This survey that is part of this self-reflection tool is something that will come back to us in aggregate. We will have nobody's individual results, but we just want to see where we're at as a church. And you can use it to see what steps can you do to help yourself grow that training in godliness that the Apostle Paul talks about. And if you need anybody to help you grow spiritually, we as pastors, as church leaders, we're here to help you do that. So God bless.
So this spiritual reflection tool, it's a self-assessment. This is something that you're honest about when you look at it, when you go through it. It's not very long. It's short. It took me about 3 minutes to complete. But I reflected even past that little survey on what I need to be able to work on. There's 2 areas that I'm going to be focusing on this year because I know that I needed to grow. I want to grow in my discipleship. And I want us as a church to do the same thing, to be able to grow, to be able to be closer to God. And so those 2 areas that I'm going to be working on, I'm going to be working on them throughout the year. This is something that I've done for quite a few years where I'll go away, spend some time with the Lord, and I'll ask myself these hard questions. I'd like for you to do the same thing. I know I'm always challenged, but it's of great benefit. It's a self-assessment, so you're doing it yourself, and that does not come back. We don't know as a church what you put. this is really between you and the Lord and on what to work on. Because the old saying, when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And so let's take that time this year to be able to do that. Now, when we looked at Romans today, and when you saw the part in the book where it talked about you and me living for God, about us not conforming to this world, but living a transformed life. I know that today we might have some that are with us or some that are online, and that transformation hasn't happened yet. Or maybe you're in a place where, you know what? That transformation, it needs to not only start, it needs to be restarted. And so maybe you're living in two different worlds. Well, that's an inner work that must take place. And so wherever you're at today, and maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking right to you, and you want to make a change, I would ask that you would just say right now to yourself, to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord Jesus, I need a change. Come into my life. Transform me and help me to be able to live for you. If you said that short little prayer, then just say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. That was a prayer that I said many years ago because I needed to be transformed. If you said that prayer, congratulations. Those of you that are online with us right now, awesome, amazing. Thank you for doing that. Now let's, church, let's celebrate together. If you would, let's stand up and we're going to celebrate our amazing God. If you said that prayer and maybe you don't have the elements with you, we would like to encourage you to take communion with us. Those of you that maybe when you came in today, you didn't grab the elements, if you would just raise your hand, one of our ushers would be more than happy to bring that to you. And those of you that are online with us right now, as we sing this song together, let me encourage you to grab something to be able to celebrate as well. All right, let's worship together. Reflect on what is in our hands, and then we'll take it together as a family.